This is 89.9 WWNO. Yes, we're headed for another art-filled weekend. Are you making plans? Or do you need some ideas? Well, you've come to the right place. Whether you're in the mood for conversation with a two-time Tony Award-winning Broadway actress and singer, a local twist on the 2012 Mayan apocalypse, a rare glimpse at never-before-seen impressionist art, or a photographic exhibit that pays homage to those who helped rebuild New Orleans post-Katrina. We've got answers. It's all in the mixed media. Come along as we go inside the arts. Hi, I'm your host, Diane Mack.
Don't cry for me, Argentina. The truth is I never left you. All through my wild days, my mad existence, I kept my promise, don't keep your distance.
Save the date, January 7th. That's when Patti LuPone, the Broadway actress and singer known for her Tony Award-winning performance as Eva Perón in the 1979 stage musical Evita, will be in New Orleans for an intimate evening of song. LuPone has fond memories of New Orleans dating back to the mid-70s, when she was a member of John Houseman's acting company. She remembers arriving in the city just before Mardi Gras one year, and her group somehow managed to join a marching band during a parade.
And we made up the back line of the New Orleans High School Marching Band. And there were about however many abreast were in that marching band. That's how many there were of us. So we looked like we could have been the booster club. And then we figured out their routines, and we marched with them in the parade. I don't even know how far we marched, but we had a ball. That was my first trip to New Orleans. And then I have friends now who have a little apartment in the French Quarter. And then I shot a film down there just recently, Parker. So I've been down there maybe three times. Not enough.
The excitement and joy of those impromptu encounters will once again be a part of LuPone's local experience as she kicks off the first Broadway at NOCA, the New Orleans Center for Creative Arts concert series, presented by Mark Cortali. LuPone says the evening, anchored by Sirius XM radio host and pianist Seth Rudetsky, will be as much of a surprise to her as it will be for audiences.
Because it's all in Seth Rudetsky's mind. He recounts my career, basically. But the songs I'm going to sing will be up to him. You know, I will talk and tell stories, and well, he'll ask me questions about a certain role, and then all of a sudden he'll say, let's sing that song. I don't really know what he's going to do until he asks me to do it.
LuPone grew up in New York on Long Island, the daughter of educators who thought she would follow in their footsteps. She is the great-grandniece of the legendary 19th-century coloratura soprano Adelina Patti, who made her New Orleans debut in Donizetti's Lucia de Lammermoor in the 1860s at the French Opera House. Patti LuPone, named for her great-grandaunt, says she knew at an early age that she, too, was destined for the stage.
4 years old, I was tap dancing in a recital on the stage of the only elementary school in my hometown, and I just fell in love with the audience. And it's a moment I can recall to this day. You know, it was an awakening, and I never looked back. When I was growing up on Long Island, it was very rural. It was a fishing village. Primary occupation was clamming in the summertime. And there were potato fields and horse farms and one elementary school, one junior high, one high school. Of course, while I was growing up, Suffolk County, where I'm from, became the fastest growing community in the country. But while I was growing up, it was very rural. New York was, you know, relatively far away. And we got our entertainment through records. You know, my mom loved to listen to opera, and she actually went to the opera quite a bit, to the old Metropolitan Opera House. My dad listened to jazz. I listened to rock and roll, but we always had a show album because back when I was growing up, there were no, you know, magazines at the checkout counter at the local supermarket, there were albums. And Ed Sullivan had a series, Ed Sullivan Presents. And Ed Sullivan would present Kiss Me Kate, some with the original cast, some with secondary, you know, cast. You could buy them for $1. And so Mom just would buy all of these. Ed Sullivan Presents Kiss Me Kate, Roberta, Guys and Dolls, Wonderful Town. And we'd go home and put them on the record player, and I would listen to them and act out particular songs. And it's just something that I was bit at a very early age and never looked back.
LuPone, a Juilliard graduate, went on to win two Tony Awards, one for her role in Evita, the other for Gypsy, which she says were very difficult roles. Of Evita, she says,
the singing was the impossible part. It was very difficult. It's very difficult to stage to anybody that attempts it. It's written in what is called the passaggio in a woman's voice, which is the weakest part of the voice, and that's where the high notes sit. So it's a little, you know, that's a lot of fear. And, you know, you can ruin your voice singing that role.
You almost did.
I almost did. I did not, and I only got stronger, thank God.
And Gypsy.
Well, that was hard, too, because I was at least 15 years too old to play it. But that was just an energy thing. I certainly had all the notes and certainly could act it, but the energy it requires is pretty intense.
And you nailed them both.
Why, thank you.
An evening of songs, stories, and laughter unfolds as Michael Cortale presents Patti LuPone in the first Broadway at Noga concert series with two performances, Monday, January 7th, 6:30 p.m. and 8:30 p.m. in Lupin Hall at Noka Riverfront, 2800 Charter Street. Ticket information at BroadwayNola.com.
Have yourself a merry little Christmas. Let your heart be light. From now on,
are you worried about the 2012 Mayan apocalypse? Well, you really shouldn't be. After all, one of the world's leading ancient astronaut theorists has figured out how to prevent the Earth from being destroyed. And perhaps it won't surprise you that he's doing it right here in New Orleans with friends from the crew of Chewbacca's. WWNO's Sherman Litwin takes you to their leader.
All across the country, folk are prepping for the end of the world on December 21, 2012. Some are building arks for the flood, others storing peanut butter and guns to ward off hunger or vandals. But not in New Orleans. Here, the conclusion of the 5,125-year-long Bakhtun period of the Mayan calendar is not an occasion for Armageddon, but for, well, what else? A festival. Yes, the intergalactic crew of Chewbacca's, that gathering of Star Wars freaks, Trekkies, mega geeks, and UFO conspiracy theorists, intent on saving the galaxy, is planning a cosmic convergence.
We put together a festival that is world class, absolutely epic in scale and scope and concept. We've got 20 or so of the best bands in New Orleans, all of my personal favorites, plus a bunch of other fantastic bands. And we have, as a headliner, we have Ghostland Observatory. We booked them specifically because they're experimental. They have a sort of a psychedelic electronic rock sort of angle to them. And they have specifically the best laser light show on planet Earth. They have a $10 million plus laser light show that they're bringing and installing at the party.
That's Ryan Ballard, creative genius and one of the overlords of the crew of Chewbacca's, which, for those unfamiliar with this oh-so New Orleans organization, is a three-year-old Mardi Gras parading group that has gone from less than 100 members to more than 700 in its short history. Now, to face the impending end of the world, they, at the direction of last year's crew royalty, Giorgio Tsoukalos, producer and star of the History Channel's Ancient Alien series, are planning to placate the Mayan gods New Orleans style.
He contacted me over the summer and said, Ryan, I have this crazy idea. I said, I'm sure you do. He proposed to me to throw a massive festival in New Orleans to celebrate the end of the Mayan calendar on December 21st, 2012, and to prevent the Mayan apocalypse by appeasing the space gods who are purportedly returning on December 21st, 2012 to annihilate planet Earth. And so the the purpose of this festival, the tongue-in-cheek purpose, like everything Chewbacca's does, is to prevent said apocalypse by showing the space gods that not only is humanity worth sparing, but that we are absolutely incredible and awesome. That this party will prove to them that we are so awesome that not only should they spare us, they should probably land and party with us.
And who can argue with that? Not some Mayan space god, that's for sure. With recreations of Mayan temples throughout the Sugar Mill party space, Ryan is working day and night to welcome in a new historical era.
What I'm doing specifically is I'm putting together an installation of a mothership, a pyramidal space freighter that will land at midnight on stage and will open up, and Georgios Tsoukalos and a Wookiee and several other space creatures will emerge from this mothership, get on stage, and join Ghostland Observatory in a champagne toast to hail in the dawn of a new era. The Sugar Mill will be absolutely packed with like incredible amounts of sculptures and experimental lighting systems. It's going to be a visual as well as a audio treat.
So, just like some folk who came for Mardi Gras and never left, I predict that thanks to Ryan's efforts, we will soon see a new Mardi Gras crew. You know, the Mayas of Meri, or maybe it's the Mayas of Marrero, or even the Mayas of Marini. But regardless of where they show up, we'll know who they really are and why they're here. So, all you doomsday preppers, I say forget the Ark or the 100 jars of peanut butter and go to the Cosmic Convergence Festival. For more information about tickets and schedules, go to WWNO.org or NOLAVIE.com. For WWNO, I'm Sharon Litwin.
The Cosmic Convergence Festival begins on Friday, December 21st. At 11 in the morning and last all day. Remaining tickets are available at the box office or online at CosmicFestNOLA.com. You're listening to Inside the Arts on 89.9 WWNO. I'm your host, Diane Mack. Amid the bustle of the French Quarter are some rooms well back from the street that are adorned with 40 Impressionist paintings. Eileen Fleming reports that while some are for sale, all are free to behold.
Bill Rau's family has operated an antique store on Royal Street for 100 years. They decided to mark the occasion with a look back at what was most popular when it first opened. A century ago, Impressionism was all the rage.
It's certainly the most famous that we deal in, but it's also something that we love, and because we've been in business for so long, that we also knew where a lot of great pieces were. We couldn't have an exhibition of Raphael pieces because we could never get those, but certainly Impressionism, we knew where a lot of the bodies were buried.
As he walked through the show gallery, tucked in back of the shop just past the knight in shining armor, Rau described some of the paintings on display and what makes them so special. One is an early still life by Paul Gauguin.
It's a vase, a beautiful, wonderful blue vase, and the blue is interesting. It brings back the Renaissance because during the Renaissance, to make blue, they would actually take pure lapis and grind it up. And this is one of those few vases, one of those few blues you'll ever see done after the Renaissance that has that same feel to it. And he did it to really, you know, make it a classical thing. And it's on a book of music, and then the most beautiful flowers out of there, and it's signed by Gauguin, and it's quite early. It's 1874, so it's really in a great period of his, and it's just a beautiful, extraordinarily rare work of art.
Price available upon request. I request.
It's $4.8 million.
Okay.
A painting featured on an art book published by Rau about 19th century European painting is not done by one of the well-known stars, but its style and use of light is unmistakable as Impressionist. It's called Woman in a Canoe from 1876, by Giuseppe Donatus, and is owned by a New Orleans collector.
There's very few paintings that have it all. It's a wonderful lady going down a what we would call a bayou, but a stream, in a beautiful white flowing silk dress with her parasol, keeping her in the shade in a canoe. And it's just stunning. There's a whole bunch of things that make it wonderful. This is a hard one to classify. I mean, it's definitely an impressionist painting, but there was a period in painting called Belle Epoque. What that meant was really like showing the glories of greatness of France and these beautifully dressed women. So she's very Belle Epoque. A parasol and the back of it, the lights coming through it, it just glows. It's one of those paintings that when you look at it, you stop and go, that is a true work of art. It's as fine as any painting you'll ever see anywhere in the world, in any museum.
Nearby is one small painting, about 17 inches by 6 inches across. The name, however, is big. Claude Monet, and he painted it for a room in his art dealer's home.
Monet put a lot of effort and painted panels on this most beautiful room. We have pictures of the room. Unfortunately, the room was disassembled in the 1930s. But all the panels matched, and he did these wonderful daffodil flowers and beautiful yellows and greens with blue backgrounds and pinks and just something that's extraordinary.
Standing near Rao as he was describing some of the show's paintings was Lisa Rotondo McCord. She's curator of Asian art at the New Orleans Museum of Art. She stopped by to see works by Impressionists who were influenced by Japanese art.
Monet had over 200 Japanese prints in his collection in his living room in Giverny.
She explains how a European movement was influenced by Asia. It began when Japanese art was featured at the Paris World's Fair of 1867. And she says the Monet at Rao is an example.
Daffodils, which I realize is made for a dining room and was a panel, part of a larger room, but it's also the format of scroll painting for Japan. This is a typical proportion for Japanese scrolls. It's very, in this case, smaller than a lot of scrolls. And it's also just the flowers against a flat background, which, again, we know that he owned prints that showed the same kind of principles.
Another European painter is featured in the final part of the show. It demonstrates how Impressionist techniques were adapted into the Post-Impressionist and other later movements. That painter?
He's most famous not because he was a painter, but because he was one of the most famous people of all times, and it was painted by Sir Winston Churchill.
It's his depiction of the Roman aqueduct in the south of France. Painting became one of Churchill's favorite pastimes. His work is featured at the show alongside masters of the era. The Impressionist show is open to the public through January 4th, Monday through Saturday. For WWNO, I'm Eileen Fleming.
You can see pictures of some of the paintings on our website, wwno.org. Multidisciplinary artist Jose Torres Tama continues to develop a series of mixed media works as he brings the contributions and plight of Latino workers in post-Katrina New Orleans to light. His latest works are photographic collages he calls photoretablos, images encased in shadow boxes with religious iconography that resemble mini altars.
They do indeed, and that is the nature of the retablo. The retablo is like an altar. It's almost always informed by figures of saints, a Virgin Mary, or a Christ figure, accompanied by photographs of those who have passed.
For this series, Torres Tama focused his lens on the Congress of Day Laborers, an activist group who held a vigil in 2010 for an immigrant worker they believed died under suspicious circumstances. Using wooden drawers from discarded furniture, Torres Tama made shadow boxes for his mixed-media assemblages. And what you will see is quite striking.
I've taken these wooden drawers that I've picked up from the streets. I take them to my studio and I spray paint them. And I try to make them really regal so that I can transform them with the spray paint colors. And then, of course, I seal the paint with a very special spray paint sealer. And then I take my images and I place them inside there. And it's all placed in a very archival manner. I take these beautiful dramatic images of this protest vigil for this immigrant who died very mysteriously under the custody of local immigration customs enforcement agents here. I take these images and I place them in there as a means to remember this passing. But it makes a larger metaphor because I've also included this ticking clock mechanism the second hand that takes at a different point in time, it is placed compositionally within the retablo assemblage, going through the image, and the second hand pierces. And for me, it's the beating heart of the immigrant labor. I mean, that's my symbol. And as you can see, some of the images are very dramatic because the immigrants are demonstrating with crosses. They've got flowers. I've got a great image of children. And the uniformity of a lot of them wearing the Congress of Day Laborers, T-shirts in black, and the carrying of the cross, the flowers. There was just a beautiful assemblage of images there. So I wanted to take these digital photographs that I've had printed of the photos that I took into another space, into a different realm, to create these photographic assemblages.
Artist Jose Torres Tama honors Latino immigrants who have helped in the rebuilding of New Orleans with his latest work, Foto Retablos, on view this weekend during Open Studio Days, December 22nd and 23rd at Jose Torres Tama Arte Futuro Studio, 1329 St. Rock Avenue, and by appointment during the month of January. And we have something extra in our Lagniappe Corner. New Orleanian Janie Taylor, principal dancer with the New York City Ballet and graduate of the Jacoby Academy of Dance, returns this weekend to dance the role of the Sugar Plum Fairy in Delta Festival Ballet's production of The Nutcracker at Tulane's Dixon Hall. Performances run December 21st through 23rd. And the first carnival ball of the season will be held at the old casino building in City Park as the Creative Alliance of New Orleans kicks off its annual gala. Bal des Artistes, featuring a masked ball and a fashion show of gowns and costumes. It takes place Thursday, January 3rd at 8 p.m. at the old casino building in City Park. More info at cano-la.org. That's our show for this week. Inside the Arts is a production of WWNO. Our program is archived at WWNO.org. Wishing you and your family a very happy holiday season and all the best in the new year. I'll be back with more ideas for your artistic palette Tuesday, January 8th at 1 p.m. when we'll go Inside the Arts. I'm Diane Mack.